This is the live audio recording for new GTLD financials, starting at 2:15, going to 3 p.m. in Hall 1A.
Thank you. Good afternoon, good morning, or good evening, depending on where you are. We have a number of people on the Adobe Room. There's a lot of seats available in the front for those of you in the back. For those who are interested, thank you, Sebastian. Otherwise, I'm going to have to go walking up there, which I will do. So thank you for coming. We would like to suggest that we go through the entire presentation. It's not necessarily very long. So that we can give sufficient time for your questions, as well as obviously remote participants' questions towards the end of this session. And I will try to make sure we have, even though we started late, ample time for questions during that session. So let's start. We are going to review first, and we'll try to be simple about it, review revenue and expense recognition policy. It's all about accounting principles, which is why I want to make sure it's short and as simple as possible, because we're not trying to make you accountants. But we would like to have a few words about it so that you understand better what we're going to look after regarding the financial impacts of the program. Then we'll go into these financials and provide a little bit of an update versus the information that was presented in the budget presentation submitted to public comments on May 10th. The format of the information that we are providing today is the same or very similar to that one that was presented and published on our website for public comments. I don't know if you have seen it, but if you haven't, you will see it today. And we are giving also an overview of the public comments that have been provided as part of the FY14 budget public comment process. We extracted a few comments that we think are relevant to discuss a little bit further, and that we expect would be of interest for some of you. And that's just also leading us to the Q&A session. So, accounting principles. there is extensive accounting principles relative to revenue recognition, generally speaking, which is really about how do you account for revenues and expenses in any business. As it relates to the new GTLD program, the main issue to deal with is that there is a timing difference between the time we collected the fees, which is all in the first half of the calendar year 2012, and the timing of when we recognize effectively revenues into the financial statements of ICANN, which is all along the program. So there is a difference between cash collection and revenue recognition throughout the program. And that's the first element that we can speak about, is the fact that there is that timing difference, which is very, very significant. So as you remember, we collected approximately $360 million of application fees between January 12th and May 31st, 2012. This is not when we recognized the revenues. We did not recognize any revenue then because we didn't start any work on the actual evaluation process then. So the accounting principles require us to recognize the revenue and the related expenses simultaneously to the extent possible. So when we have an expense, we recognize revenue. It's very logical also from the perspective that being a cost recovery program, it is logical to recognize a revenue when you recognize an expense to offset it. The methodology to determine this recognition is to use the progress on the evaluation to determine the amount of revenues to be recognized, the progress on the evaluation process. How do we measure the progress on the evaluation process? We measure it with the costs having been incurred. So the work that's been done has a cost. The cost is evaluated with the invoices from the vendors, with the work of the staff, and is being recognized. This is the indicator that's being used to determine then the amount of revenue that we're going to recognize. We have had a number of accounting firms reviewing this approach. Again, there's not a lot of industries that have the similar type of projects like this program that we have. There's not specific accounting guidance about it, and we had to use the help of accounting firms to formulate this guidance. One of the three firms is our auditors who have reviewed this policy last year and are further reviewing it this year. Next slide. So, as I was just saying, the expenses are recognized as incurred. This is regardless of when they are effectively paid. Incurred really means when the work is done, we recognize an expense. If we have a bill from the vendor ready to help us understand what the expense was, great, that's what we're going to use. If we don't have it, we will estimate the cost to recognize it in the period where the work has been done. Revenues are recognized proportionally to the amount of costs incurred. So when we look at the amount of costs incurred in the program at a given date, we determine a percentage corresponding to the cumulative amount of costs incurred divided by the total amount of costs for the program, and that gives us the progress percentage of the program. We then apply that percentage to the total amount of revenue for the program. And that's how we get the cumulative amount of revenue to be recognized at that time for the program. That's the very basic calculation. The historical costs are, the historical development costs that are repaid to the ICANN operations from the program are calculated in the exact same fashion, proportionally to the evaluation costs. The recognition of revenues and of historical costs is limited to the amount of non-refundable fees. You know all that the application fees are potentially refundable if or and when an application withdraws. But there are thresholds of refundability, right? So until the end of initial evaluation, 70% of the application fee can be refunded. So we have to always make sure that the amount of revenue and costs recognized never exceeds the amount of non-refundable application fees. This graph is trying to show that. I don't know if it appears as gray or beige on the graph, but the area that you can see as a staircase on the graph that's more or less gray is showing the various steps of refundable, in this case, non-refundable fees. So the red line on this graph is showing you the amount of revenues, the cumulative amount of revenues for the program. The axis, the horizontal axis of this graph is time, really, at the end of the day, with the first phase of initial evaluation, second phase of extended evaluation, and then contracting. And the again, the gray shaded area represents the amount of non-refundable revenues. Sorry, non-refundable application fees. The line in blue is reflecting the progress of costs. And the line in red would normally exactly reflect the line in blue. Would it be not for these steps into the non-refundable part of the fee that prevent us from recognizing the revenue exactly at the same rhythm than the expenses? Let's move on. So, we published on the 10th of May a budget presentation for FY14, which also included all the financials relative to the program that we're going to look at today, in relative to the entire program. So what you're looking at here are numbers that correspond to the entire program across all the years, not just FY14. At a high level, the net application fees, net being net of refunds, is estimated to be 311 million. I'm looking at the left column of this slide. It corresponds to the fees collected less the estimation of the refunds that will be, or that have been and will be, processed as per the refundability milestones that we've just discussed. The total amount of operating expenses, so evaluation costs, administration costs, overheads of the entire program, totals up 172 million approximately. I round things up or down. The historical development costs of the program represent 32 million for a total of expenses of 204 million. This leaves us with a remaining balance of 107 million. The element of costs that's not represented there are those costs difficult to predict that have been the rationale for including in the fee a risk component, or an additional amount of fee determined, designed to cover for these difficult to predict costs. We will talk more about that component later. I'm moving on, but I'm expecting that when we talk, we have the Q&A session, we can come back to this slide if necessary. So this is a breakdown of the full program, multi-year full program costs by the type of expenses and the phases. So on the left there, we have initial evaluation, extended evaluation, quality control, string contention, objections, pre-delegation, administration, and below GTLD teams, IC and staff allocations, and other overheads. The total corresponding to the 172 million that we've seen a little bit earlier. The Obviously, the initial evaluation, as you probably would have expected, represents the bulk of the evaluation costs. Another significant element of cost is the pre-delegation phase, which includes the testing, but also the contracting and a number of other parts of that phase. At the top left of this slide, it's difficult to miss that we're talking about 1,930 applications, which is the total program. The number of applications received by the end of by the end of May 31st last year was 1,930 of valid applications. And this is the amount of applications that's being dealt with, even though, of course, today, as you know, we have, from memory, Christine, 97 refunds, 97 refunds to date. Let's move on. So this is another view, sorry for the small numbers and big table. This is another view of the program where you can see here the breakdown of the same figures that we've looked at earlier by year, from 12 to 15. This is really covering the period of evaluation and the breakdown of the costs and revenues by period. Very little from an evaluation standpoint had been done by the end of the fiscal year 12, which finished at the end of June 2012. So if you remember, the strings were all revealed on June 13th, 2012. The evaluation cost work that had been done there was very minimal. The bulk of the activity, as you know, from an evaluation standpoint, has happened in 2013 fiscal year, which closed 2 weeks ago, at the end of June 2013. From a financial standpoint, that shows you the amount of work that Christine's team and everybody else has put through, along with all you guys. In 2014, you see a decreasing amount of cost, reflecting that the program moves into the phase, largely into the phases of initial extended evaluation and pre-delegation work. And from an evaluation standpoint, the program decreases again in fiscal year 15, to approximately 24 million of expenses then. Next slide. I mentioned the risk component earlier. I'm referencing here a document that is available on the website that was produced for the first time in October 2008, has been updated in October 2009, and I'm referencing the version of 2009 there. This document helps explaining the program's costs and notably the notion of risk. The notion of risk was defined as the costs that are most uncertain and harder to predict. And examples were provided relative to potential inaccuracies in the evaluation cost estimates. 5 years ago, when the program was designed, did we evaluate correctly that it would take this much money for initial evaluations, for example, or something else? So accuracy in the or inaccuracy in the evaluation of processing costs is one of the potential risks. Another risk is, did we not anticipate that a phase or an evaluation or some work needed to be done, and that we would know better today, yes, it does need to be done, but it was not planned for. That's another risk. Were the support costs adequately dimensioned 5 years ago when we designed the program? This is particularly difficult to do so far in advance, especially when we don't know what the size of the program is. So obviously today we have a much more comprehensive understanding of that and very different one at this. Of course, what could possibly be the need for defense costs, litigation potentially, as part of the program? That's entirely impossible to predict. So these elements are those that justified the risk component of the application fee. Those risks had been evaluated at the time at 30 million. This is the result of an exercise conducted in coordination with our insurance company of the time, Willis, who has a consulting arm that helped us formulate what the risks of the program could be, associate ranges of probability and ranges of impact, financial impact. Through a lot of modeling, for those interested, a Monte Carlo model type, the evaluation of 30 million of the was conducted. That was under an assumption that the program was 500 applications, would be 500 applications. Again, to remind everyone, we're talking about a time where 5 years ago, where the program was being designed. Based on 30 million of risks, 500 applications, that's how the amount of $60,000 per application was determined in order to determine the fee. So the forecast that we've produced a little bit earlier in the presentation was referring to an amount that's basically resulted from taking the 60K, multiply that by the number of applications, and that's how you arrive at the 110 million or 15 million. So far, few costs have been currently applied against that risk bucket. Task glitch, a couple legal analyses and litigation, pre-litigation work. And no, at this stage, no difference in estimates have been applied against the risk component. As of yet, we are going to continue forecasting the costs and looking at the costs before defining whether or not any should be applied against that risk component. Next slide. Public comments. We're just taking here a couple comments extracted from the public comments that have been provided. It's a lot of information to read, but I will just get in the gist of these comments. There's a historical development cost comment relative to when the historical development costs are being recovered by the ICANN operation. Where are they going? Are they going in the reserve fund? And is there an estimation of what the reserve fund total amount will be, what is the target of the reserve fund, which is a separate subject, but obviously related. So the historical costs, the repayment, is, as you have seen in the previous documents, is being made progressively along the program and to be completed no later than at the end of the evaluation phases. It is retroceded basically back to the ICANN operations, and therefore increasing the operating fund of ICANN. And the normal process then is that the finance committee and then the board determines how much of that operating fund gets allocated to the reserve fund. And this is determined on an annual basis. There is also a comment on the allocations, on the staff allocations. So we have two different set of resources being charged to the program. We have the direct resources that basically are represented by Christine's team, the new GTLD team, that are directly charged to the program. And then we have a lot more than just Christine's team who works on the program from the ICANN operations. Let's take an example, the legal team. In my team in finance, there's one person whose role is dedicated to controlling the costs of the program. That's all she does. So there's another person who's also not part of Christine's team, but whose focus is on the program. I spend a certain amount of my time on the program, but not all of my time. So we therefore determine allocations of those staff that are not in the new GTLD team but contribute to it nonetheless, and on the basis of those estimates, charge the program's cost. The comment here is relative to why has it increased, and you've heard me talking about the fact that we have completed most of the initial evaluation in 2013, in the fiscal year 2013. This was not anticipated at the time of the design of the program and at the time of the design of the estimates. If you remember, we had planned to do batches of approximately 500 for the evaluation. Instead, as you remember, last year, the evaluation process changed to actually conduct all the initial evaluation of all the applications in one phase rather than in four phases. So regrouping that work in a simultaneous fashion rather than in a split fashion over time has created a need for resources completely different than what was originally anticipated. One. Second, we were talking about inaccurate estimates at the time of the design of the program, and certainly the estimations made 5 years ago of the amount of resources needed to manage the program were vastly underestimated. And I think, obviously, without having a detailed understanding at the time of what amount of work would be required, 1 second, considering that the program quadrupled in terms of size, things are not necessarily proportional. When you think you need 10 people to do something that, for 500 units, it's not just necessarily four times as much for 2,000 units. So that's one of the elements that has impacted this allocation number to change. Let me move on. Two questions. There's a mic here. I'll pull back so that people can come down. I can also walk around with a mic. There's one question coming through. Okay, so more questions coming through. Good.
How you doing? Jim Prendergast. A couple questions. If we can just go back on the slides.
Yes.
There was a mention of litigation costs. Was that related to the Image Online and the Something Space case? Is that?
So there were two cases. that each of these, I mentioned the legal costs, it's two cases. I wanted to check with our legal team, they can provide more more precision on that. There's on Dauntless.
What is it? It's.
I have the.
It's namespace and then image online design. Are those the only two legal actions that are in there?
I think that's right. Okay. But I would need to re-verify that.
Okay.
But I think that's right.
And then slide before that where it's just the total aggregate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Initial evaluation costs there of $70,400,000.
Yes.
The application fee budgeted $100,000 per application for initial evaluation. And if you divide that number up, it comes out to like $36,000 per application.
So it was not $100,000 for initial evaluation. It was $100,000 for all the evaluation, the entire program. So let me break it down.
Yeah.
$185,000 total. Out of the $185,000, $60,000 as we've seen for risk.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, $25,000 per application was designed to be a repayment of the historical development costs,
right,
leaving $100,000 for the entire evaluation, not just initial evaluation, but all the evaluation costs, all the panels, all the processes, and all the administration and overheads. So it's actually, you should compare that to the 172 at the bottom
okay.
of this slide.
So do you know off the top of your head how that's what's the cost per application versus what the...
It's about $85,000.
Okay.
If you divide that 170 by a bit less than 2,000, it's about $85,000.
Okay. And then extended evaluation, $6.8 million.
Yes.
How are you projecting that, and is that going to be a moving number based upon actual extended evaluations?
It will be a moving number, yes, on the basis of that and on the basis of the amount of costs to be incurred per
okay.
application, which is dependent upon each application.
Okay. So right now, I don't know how many are eligible for extended. It's only, what, 14, 15? Yeah, so that's 600,000 apiece. I don't...
Yes. So at the time we had this number, it was, I think we were had more like 30 extended evaluation, applications into extended evaluation, which that number has been revised.
Okay.
And I think there's another piece of cost. Well, I think there's a cost in the extended evaluation that we've left there from an estimate standpoint that's not necessarily proportional to the, and Christine can help us.
Hi, Jim.
Hey.
So extended evaluation isn't just, there's the financial technical panel, there's the registry services panel, and there's also the geographic names panel, which it's not a secondary evaluation on the geographic names panel. It's an extension that's possible and is offered by the AGB to applicants for an additional incremental 90 days of evaluation. So that is an estimate... based on the best information we had about
okay.
the total potential number of applications going through each of the different panels and the cost to sustain all of the panel firms required during the extended evaluation period.
Okay.
So
then I guess the other question would be if that 171 is paid for by the $100,000 per application
mm-hmm.
and we've got... $6.8 million set aside for extended evaluation. Doesn't extended evaluation incur additional fees? Like, has everybody already paid for an extended evaluation out of their $100,000? And then when it comes time to go through it, you got to pay again?
No. Yes. Yes. Correct. So, no, you don't have to pay again. The extended evaluation process phase is covered by the $100,000.
Okay.
It's covered by the initial application fees.
Okay.
There is a cost for the RSTEP, the one panel, one
right.
person versus three person panel. There's a cost for CP community priority evaluation for that. But the $100,000 per application is intended to be all of the evaluation costs, all of the program costs to support the objection process, to handle pre-delegation. So that $100,000 per K per app is everything except the risk and the repayment historical cost.
So aside from the technical reevaluation and extended evaluation, there won't be any additional fees for extended evaluation?
No.
Okay. Great.
Thank you. Chris.
Thank you. Chris Chaplow. Could you go back to the risk slide? I'm just curious about something. Because you were saying the risk...
No, further down in the presentation.
...was calculated at 30 million...
Yes,
based
right
on,
here.
...based on the 500 applications at,
yes.
At the time, which is 60,000 per application.
Yes.
So now we've got 1,900 or 1,800 applications. So has the risk been recalculated at 115, which comes back to the same 60?
Correct.
It's almost as if it's been recalculated, just proportionalized, or have you done a re-evaluation properly to work out?
Absolutely. You're correct. It's been arithmetically taken the 60K times the... So it's really how much fees have been collected relative to the risk bucket through the 185 that this 115 million represents, rather than what is the risk of the program now that it is 2000 application.
So at some point in the future, that risk will have to be reevaluated.
Correct.
And you move the balance into a different bucket? Or?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. We're going to take, I think, one... Sorry, do we have questions online? No questions online. Okay. We have 2 minutes, so we're going to do very short. Yes, Raimondo? Okay.
Well, as you know, I have been in several meetings making some comments on the historical costs. On the historical cost, and the issues I'm making are two. One is the amount of the total, and the other one is the recognition. At what time do we recognize it? Regarding the amount, I think that this morning we came to a fair solution to that, is to ask the external auditors to fix the year, whatever it is, because in the financial statements in every year since the program started, it's indicated clearly how much was spent in this program. So which is not a very difficult exercise to make, and I think that will be transparent for everybody. So I will not comment more on that, because if you announce that you are going to do that. On the recognition, well, the accounting principles are not universal. So this is probably the accounting solution for the in the United States, but it's not a universal, and in the particular case is that I would like to see, because it was promised us at Prague that the paper on the accounting principle will be made public, and it has not been made public. So I have a serious doubt about that, and mainly because the accounting principles is correct. You can recognize the revenue when you make the expense, but in fact the expense is not made as you evaluate, because in this case of the historical costs were made before. So you have a right to recognize all the historical costs, and I think I was asked to review this interpretation, because you cannot say that because we have 2,000 application, then the historical cost per application gets lower. But it was never calculated that way. There has not to be a percentage of every application. The recognition of the expense is the total, and not per application. It's not very different. It's the case of the evaluation. The evaluation is a cost per application, but the historical cost is not a cost per application. Okay.
Thank you. So
we need to finish because we're 2 minutes late. In respect of Raimondo's comment, I will say that the accounting principle that we are applying is an internationally compliant accounting principle. So it's in, for those interested, it's in U.S. GAAP and in IFRS, which are the international accounting principles. So it will be accounted for in the same fashion anywhere and everywhere. And I will take the time to go back with Raimondo on the rest of his comments, as he and I have already discussed on the audit side and on the timing of recognition. Thank you very much for attending this session. We'll do more of those in the future. And thank you for your questions. And have a good day.